Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. For generations, the Cape and Islands offered residents and visitors simple yet special options for summertime activities. Days at the beach or swimming in kettle ponds, messing around in boats, fishing. If you went out in the evening, it might be to the drive-in movies in Wellfleet or Falmouth. Or maybe you'd go to the Cape Cod Music Circus, later the Melody Tent, or catch a live theater production. In 2026, the options for activities and entertainment have expanded. For the young, old, and in-between, visitors are year-round residents, there are options for nature, art, history, music, and theater. It would be almost impossible to list all the options, but Jim Bowen has tried. His new book is titled Cape Cod and the Islands, Family Fun Guide, Creating Unforgettable Memories. Jim, welcome.
Hi, Mindy. That was a nice introduction. Thank you.
And we want to hear from listeners, too. If you have some favorite places and things to do on the Cape and Islands, or maybe you want to share a memory or a special place, activity, or tradition that defines summertime on the Cape, we would love to hear from you. 888-666-999-4626, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, so Jim, where'd you get the idea for the book?
Well, you know, I've grown up here most of my life, been a Cape Codder, mostly from the Falmouth area. I got the idea because it's always been a hobby of mine to keep lists. And I would travel around and I'd keep lists of places that I went and explored. Many years ago, I was asked to be the MC at the Falmouth Town Band by Lynn Whitehead. And so in between each song, I would take some notes. I would and tell the audience little tidbits about Cape Cod. You know, I would say, well, what's a quahog? And they'd laugh, and I'd say, no, that's a quahog, you know, and I'd explain the difference between a little neck and a hard shell, a clam, a cherry stone, and such. And I'd tell them the best ice cream places to visit and all. So I would keep these on index cards. And gradually, I just kept developing this hobby of mine. I loved that book of Falmouth that Margaret Smith wrote. That was a great book many years ago. So yeah, so friends would ask me, "Where should I go on Cape Cod? I've got people visiting," and they knew that was a hobby of mine, and I'd tell them developed into a bigger and bigger list.
Yeah. One of the things, and we were talking about this before in the air, is people have a tendency to kind of hang out in their own town. And there's so much to explore, right? Mm-hmm. And you found this when you go on the Outer Cape. They go, Falmouth. I'm not going to Falmouth, right? Just like a lot of people go, Outer Cape, oh, you know. So talk a little about the research and how you compiled this information, because I know you visited every place you write about.
I did. And I'm sure your listeners have some great stories about that, too. So it's funny, people from Falmouth, they'll go as far as Hyannis, probably for shopping, and that's about as far as they go. But you ask folks from the Lower Cape or the Outer Cape if they've ever been to Falmouth, and it seems like that's Maine.
Yeah, you know, can't get there from here. Yeah.
A whole nother part of New England that they've never explored. So I would go around it. My wife, Debbie, and I, when we were growing up, we had a 66 Mustang convertible. It was racing car green. What a beauty. And we would drive up towards Provincetown. And, you know, back then you would drive along, and just as you hit those dunes in Provincetown, you could pull the car over and run up and down them.
Of course, you can't do that anymore. No, yeah. And then but you can still see them.
You can still see them and admire them. I don't think they're as big as they used to be, or at least they looked bigger when I was a teenager.
Maybe it's all that running up and down, right?
But do you remember going into Provincetown and Don Thomas there, the dancing cop the intersection, and he had the white gloves on and he'd spin around and wave? Those are great memories. And that's, you know, the book is about that. I'm trying to create memories that people will last for a lifetime.
Yeah. All right. So as a lifelong Cape Codder, what are some of the new or unexpected activities or places you discovered? You know, in the intro, we talked about some of the, you know, old time stuff, but there's so much more going on.
There is actually... So many other things. There's the movie theaters now that we never had before, like the Falmouth Cinema Pub.
Right.
And Bill Haney is building a entertainment center that's actually going to have live entertainment and a comedy club in the Cape Cod Mall.
Right. And we still have the Wellfleet Drive-In. That's still going strong.
The Wellfleet driving during the summertime.
Yeah, can't go in the winter, right?
Now in Yarmouth, they used to have the Yarmouth driving, and that just turned into the Parker River Landing boardwalk and kayak launch. Ooh. That's a wonderful trip to take up there. They did such a beautiful job with this elevated boardwalk there. Yeah.
And the opportunity to see independent films is not as great as it once was, right? But there's still a few spots that you can
used to see. Have the Nickelodeon on Route 151, but the Chatham Cinema right there on Main Street, the Orpheum it's called. They have wonderful art films there, and on Friday mornings during the summertime, families can take their children there for free. And they'll have a kids' movie there.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to think of the other theater. Remember that moment? The one that's by the Cape Cod Museum of Art there.
Oh, of course. The Cape Cinema.
Yes, thank you.
I should have brought that up myself. They're doing some restoring there now.
Yeah, they have been doing a great job, though, of keeping, independent films alive.
It's part of the Cape Playhouse complex, which we'll have to talk about because that's one of my favorite spots to recommend. But the Cape Cinema, a lot of your listeners might not know that there's a beautiful mural on the ceiling that was painted. It's a modern art of the galaxies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the very first spot where Wizard of Oz was performed.
Yeah.
Was shown.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the Cape Playhouse. You said it's one of your favorites. Why is it one of your favorites?
They've had a terrific resurgence there. They have a new director, Eric, who has been there for 3 years now, and he must have some really good connections because he's bringing in some Broadway shows that are just fabulous. Last year, we went to see... what was it? We saw Anastasia, and the star had starred also on Broadway. And we saw Come From Away, and there was 5 original members of the cast that were right here on Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
So, the stars of the past used to perform there. Henry Fonda, Gertrude Lawrence, you can go way back, the Barrymores.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brought that right back now. And from what I understand, it's winterized and it might even be year round someday.
Yeah. I know we recently did a program where a lot of the theater folks called in to talk about their seasons. But I also want to mention you've got that history, and Cape Playhouse is just one of, there's a lot of history in some of the theaters here on the Cape. But, the Cape Cod Theater Project, right here down the street at Falmouth Academy, they do a lot of up-and-coming and new works, which is also really interesting to be part of that audience feedback that you might have some impact on the end result, right?
I'm glad you brought that up. It's nice because you get to discuss with the director who's right there.
And how often do you get that opportunity,
I know, it's
right?
Wonderful.
It's so much fun. All right, so one of the things, as you're doing this research and you're going around and you're exploring and finding all this great stuff, locals like to keep special places secret, right? So were there places that you didn't include in the book because they are secret?
Yes.
Ah.
So the answer to that. I was thinking originally we shouldn't talk about the knob.
No, we should. This is the thing I was telling you. When I first came, the knob, it was not very crowded, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, but then it was like, I can't remember what year it was, but some magazine had done something and they talk about the knob. And then it's like all these people, and I think there was even like a tour bus or something. I thought, oh no,
it's
what
gone.
Have they done?
When I grew up here, I went to what was called Lawrence High School in Falmouth. And that's where the Woods Hole kids would go to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And I come here, the knob, I never heard of that. And I've lived here all my life. But yes, I'm afraid that it's a well-known secret now.
Yeah.
So I did end up putting that in there. But I could tell you, I did not put in the St. Barnabas Strawberry Festival.
Now, why not?
It's such a charming little festival.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to see any tour buses find out about it. Just like you said.
Yeah.
It's just so sweet. It was just went on last week or the week before during Arts Alive.
Yeah.
And so that's one place I didn't want to divulge.
Yeah. But you have others. Mm.
Well, there's...
Because you're not divulging them right now, you know.
It's kind of like a fisherman. You don't want to give up your fishing spots.
Exactly.
And you should never give up your spots where you get steamers.
Yeah.
But there is a lane in Barnstable, and it's called Keaveney Lane. It's off of it's in Cumaquid off of 6A. And it's one of the prettiest streets on Cape Cod.
Really?
If you drive down there, it's a public way, and it circles around, starts on Route 6A and circles around. But you can take a little side street called Water Street, and you end up at Barnstable Harbor, and it's a lovely little place to picnic.
Yeah.
Or to just watch the sunset. And I'm afraid probably one of my best friends is going to be calling me after
the
show.
What have you done? All right, let's talk to Ann Putney from the Heritage Museum and Gardens. Hey, Ann.
Hi, Mindy. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm so glad you called in because you're one of my favorite places. Oh, my gosh, everything. If people haven't been to Heritage Museum and Gardens in a while, what's been happening there is just fabulous. Go ahead, Ann. Tell us some of the stuff that's going on.
Oh, great. Well, thank you. Sort of in the theme of your guest, speaking about iconic things to do on Cape Cod, I think one of the most iconic things about Cape Cod is the hydrangeas.
Yes.
People love to take pictures of them. They love to visit them. And so upcoming at Heritage and across the Cape is the Cape Cod Hydrangea Festival. And that's from the 10th to the 19th of July. And we are one of the anchor institutions of that festival. So I'd like to just tell you a little bit about what visitors can enjoy
at
the Hydrangea Festival. We have two beautiful, large hydrangea gardens. One is called the Cape Cod Hydrangea Society Display Garden, and the other is called the North American Hydrangea Test Garden. Between the two of them, we have the most comprehensive collection of hydrangeas in North America.
Wow, I didn't know that.
God.
Wow.
That is true. And we have, not only can people come and visit, but they can take self-guided tours. We do daily tours of the hydrangea gardens. We have volunteer members of the Cape Cod Hydrangea Society who are super knowledgeable about this iconic plant, who are positioned out in the gardens to answer questions and just tell people more.
Right.
A lot of people have questions when they move here about how can I plant hydrangeas, or how can I maintain them, or how do I get all the blooms that you all have here? We're here to answer those questions, and we're here to just educate people about this fabulous plant.
Yeah, and I just want to mention, too,
one big thing going on.
Yeah, and while you're there, you got to check out the cars, right? I don't know what you call that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All the antique cars. It's amazing.
Really, the auto gallery.
We really
pride ourselves on being a place where families make memories.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple things I think a lot of families enjoy together, like grandparents, parents, children. One of them is looking at the antique automobiles that we have in our car barn. They go from the end of the 1800s right up through the 1960s. And it's really a fabulous collection for people to enjoy. And we even have certain nights during the summer when we bring them out. It's called Gearhead Garage. And people can come by and see them running, ask a lot of questions, and just learn more about what happens with these fabulous antique cars that we have on display that are really a centerpiece of our collection. But the other thing that families really enjoy together at Heritage and make a lot of memories is riding the carousel.
All right.
I don't know if you've done that, if your guest has done that, but we have on our grounds a beautiful restored wooden carousel from 1908. And it's in working condition and it's free with admissions. And we have a lot of families that will come by and say, oh, I'm a grandparent now, but I remember taking my children here, and then the parents will bring their children. So it's a wonderful place for families to make memories.
I have photos of my grandson on that carousel, Ann.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And thanks so much for calling and reminding us of everything fun happening there. I didn't know about the hydrangeas, so that was great. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
You
bet.
Bye-bye. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. And we'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Jim Bowen. His book is Cape Cod and the Islands, Family Fun Guide, Creating Unforgettable Memories. We'd love to hear from you. What are your favorite places and things to do on the Cape and Islands? Maybe you have a special memory about a special place or activity or tradition. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Jim, one of the things I know that you want to talk about is the powwow coming up soon. Yeah.
That's a wonderful event. I'd really love everybody to attend that at least once. It's so colorful, and it's a photographer's paradise. The Wampanoag Indian, the Wampanoag tribe in Mashpee invites others from the East Coast up there for a celebration, for games, for just to celebrate their traditions and heritage. And I suggested that it's right there in Mashpee. It's easy to attend. Bring a lawn chair. Plan on spending a few hours. There's some terrific food trucks there with all sorts of food like jag and turtle soup.
Oh, interesting.
And it's just something that I really suggest that they do. And it's very reasonably priced.
All right. Let's talk to Danielle calling from Mass Audubon. Hi, Danielle.
Good morning, Mindy. How are you?
I'm good. What do you want to talk about? There's so much that Mass Audubon has going on.
Oh, you're right. Mass Audubon is doing some incredible things. For folks that aren't familiar with us, we're a nature-based conservation organization throughout the state. We have over 60 really beautiful wildlife sanctuaries that people couldn't explore. We've got Tidmarsh Sanctuary in Plymouth, North River Sanctuary in Marshfield. We've got Long Pasture out in Barnstable, and of course our Wellfleet Bay Sanctuary in Wellfleet. And Felix Neck is on Martha's Vineyard if you want to take the ferry ride across. It's an extraordinary place to visit.
Yeah. And you also have just all kinds of programs always going on, right? From walks to, you know, things for the kids. There's always a million things going on.
You're right. We do. Whether you love birding, kayaking, hiking, learning about local wildlife, we've got something for everyone. We've got guided kayaking tours through Barnstable. Or out on the vineyard as well. We've got special festivals like a firefly festival coming up in July in the evening at our North River Sanctuary. We've got opportunities for kids to feed the fish at our Wellfleet Bay Sanctuary every Saturday and Thursday this summer. We've got, an extraordinary array of really diverse programs. You can check them all out at massaudubon.org. And we really hope people will come out and experience nature and really get away from all of the stresses of daily life and enjoy our wildlife and our beautiful, beautiful properties across the South Shore and the Cape and Islands.
You know, you talked about the Long Pasture Wildlife Sanctuary in Barnstable. That's one of my favorite places to recommend people bring their grandkids. You have that 250-year-old tree that's been repurposed into a tunnel and the pebble harp and all sorts of activities that the kids can do there, and a beautiful view of the Sandy Neck Summer Colony with the lighthouse.
You are right, Jim. That is like the million-dollar view. It is extraordinary at Long Pasture. We also have a really exciting newer trail there, which is called our All-Persons Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And this is meant to be more accessible to all kinds of folks that might have wheelchairs, walkers, your grandparents you're talking about, or if they've got kids in strollers. It's a phenomenal trail where we've got regularly spaced seating and sort of a gravel surface that's accessible, a post and rope assistance for folks with any sort of visibility or mobility issues. We love our all-persons trails, and they're really opening up a way for everyone to enjoy the beauty of nature in their own way.
Yeah.
And we have a number of these trails across the state. We're going to break ground on a new one at our Felix Neck Sanctuary on Martha's Vineyard this summer.
Great. A lot going on. Danielle, thank you. Thanks for calling in and letting us know what's happening. Appreciate that.
Really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks. Let's see, we have David Musson from the Cape Cod Museum of Natural History. Hi, David.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. What another great spot. We've got all these great suggestions for people to do. Tell us a little bit about what's going on this summer.
Well, I'm actually outside just now where we're setting up our mud kitchen, which is kind of a legendary, iconic activity for kids in the summer here. We just fill a great big square of mud with water and let the kids do whatever they want in there, create the mud pies, just get covered. And some people are like professional mud kitcheners. They come every year and they head down there with changes of clothes and get themselves all sorted out. So it's really nice and really lively. Just before we open up at 10 this morning, we're also doing Soap Bubble Science, which is next door to our mud kitchen. So you can kind of get a clean afterwards. But you just get... When we open up, we just get this wonderful thing of all of these kids just running around, having the best time outside in the mud, playing with bubbles, and it's kind of this magical view that you get. You can probably imagine it while you're sitting there in your radio station there as well. And I'm just heading up a little bit up a pathway where we have our butterfly house, which is incredibly popular. You can come in, just stand there, be surrounded by beautiful monarch butterflies with the yellow and orange wings, and you've got these blue ones that fly right above you. And we have feeding opportunities as well to come on in. So a lot of people think about the museum as an indoor space, but we have massive amounts of outdoor activities as
well. Yeah, you got the trails. And I want to ask back to the mud thing for a second. Okay, you got this kid covered in mud. Do you have some place to hose him off before you put him in the car?
Yes.
Are you still doing the beekeeping demonstrations?
We have inside the museum, we have the exhibit where we have the hive inside there, so you can come and see live bees.
We brought our granddaughter to, and it was across the street, and I remember putting on the helmets with the nets on it and having a wonderful demonstration of the bees.
Yeah, well, you can still get that kind of experience where it's inside with a real beehive with real bees inside it. And we have beekeepers explaining to you what's going on and how to find the queen. And there's a little white dot on her this year. Every year the queen gets a different color. So last year was blue, this year it's white.
Oh, right.
One of our favorite memories is when we brought the kids there and they got swallowed up by the 40-foot inflatable wheel.
That is coming back. Yeah, we have the 44-foot inflatable, where we have two of them. We have the gray whale, which is like a full-size reconstruction. You walk through its mouth and go through. It's not an entire gray whale. We only have a 44-foot auditorium, so it takes up the whole space. But we also have our humpback whale as well. That's coming. Starts next Wednesday, the humpback whale. And you can come in. And that's like a 20-minute talk that you go through, and you go inside the whale and one of our naturalists what happened to them. It's an incredible experience. You just come through, you get a talk beforehand, and you go into the inflatable whale. Everybody loves it, you know, kids obviously, but everybody goes through that thing.
And they really have to reserve that way ahead of time, as I recall.
We recommend you reserve it. If you go onto our website, ccmnh.org, you can find the details there. You can call up and reserve your space. It's incredibly popular. We do let walk-ins come through, but there are very limited walk-in opportunities. So recommend you get your time spot. Yeah.
All right, David, from the Cape Cod Museum of Natural History. Thanks for calling in, David. Appreciate it.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right, let's talk to Mavis Robinson from the Bourne Historical Society. Hi, Mavis.
Hey, Mindy. Hey, Jim. How you doing?
Hi there.
Great. What's going on at the Bourne Historical Society?
I'm feeling guilty because I technically should be making biscuits right now because we are gearing up for our biggest event, which is just in 2 days on Saturday. It's the Strawberry Festival.
Ooh.
And I know lots of organizations do them. The Bourne Historical Society very proudly has the oldest running Strawberry Festival on the Cape. This is our 54th year.
Wow.
We've been running the Strawberry Festival since 1972. And so we're pulling together 600 strawberry shortcakes, which will be served fresh with freshly whipped cream on Saturday at the museums at Uptuxet. It's just our biggest day, and we're pretty excited about it. We've got a little classic car show to go along with it. Some live music with an incredible local musician and John Ebersold. I almost forgot his name. He's my neighbor. and just lots of fun activities. We're going to have a visit from Strawberry Shortcake this year, lots of kids activities. And it's just sort of like a nice way for us to kick off summer here at Uptuxet.
Yeah, that sounds great. And you said a visit from Strawberry Shortcake, that the little cartoon character, Strawberry Shortcake?
That's right. That's right. Yep. Strawberry Shortcake. We always try to have kids activities. And this year we have a costumed Strawberry Shortcake who'll be reading stories Every hour on the hour, we open up at 10 o'clock, but Strawberry Shortcake will show up at 11, at 12, at 1, and then at 2 o'clock to sort of read a story and then to lead the kids with some crafts and activities.
Wow.
So it's our favorite time. It's like, again, I think I mentioned it's sort of our kickoff for the season, but we mm-hmm. do try to do like a big thing every month. We have, mm-hmm. We're open Thursday through Sunday just for regular tours. But then, June is our strawberry month. July, we do a colonial reenactment on July 25th. Mm-hmm. And then in August is our big pirate festival, which we're bringing back after having been absent for a couple of years. So.
Oh, I bet that's popular. Who doesn't love pirates?
I know. And we do always try to slip in a little history, too. You know, mm-hmm. pirates are fun, but pirates are real. And mm-hmm. And part of the colonial history of the area was the challenge of sending trade goods from, Cape Cod back to mm-hmm. England and having those boats captured by pirates. So amidst the fun, this year we have Luca, the pirate guy, who's really going to lead the kids with some fun activities, but we try to slide a little bit of history in there as well.
Yeah, very good. All right. Mavis, thanks for the update. Appreciate that. Good luck with the Strawberry Festival.
Thanks so much.
All right. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Let's talk to Greg Hetzrick from the Edward Gorey House. Hi, Greg.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Edward Gorey House is so much fun. I haven't been there in a while, but So tell me what's going on. What's new?
It remains a fun place, and it's starting to become a crowded fun place. So visitors are kind of requested to get reservations in advance. We'll talk about that in a moment. The house, we like to say the house is a refuge for those who really hate the outdoors and for those who are really tired of history. You go to the Edward Gorey House because it's not about those things. It is about art and creativity and humor, and we have a very good time doing so. We're in Yarmouthport. We have an exhibit every year at the house in addition to the permanent stuff. This year, our exhibit is called Old Sorted Type. It's all about Edward and typography, and I wish I had 20 minutes to bore your listenership with fonts, but I won't, other than to say that we're having the second of our three workshops on lettering on July 2nd that's tied in with this exhibit. These things we're doing over at the Thatcher House, our friends across the street. They help us out with a lot of stuff as well. We also kicked off our envelope art contest last week. That's going to run through December 1st. To understand that, you really just have to come to the house and see what last year's artwork looked like.
Do you still have the cats? Still have the cats?
We have cats. We have no cats downstairs mixing with the public.
Okay.
Though if you stand at the bottom of the stairs and make a sound like wet food or dry food, you may see.
They poke their head around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. One is pretty shy these days, and the house gets a little bit noisy. Well, I can't say noisy, but one of the cats will disappear when she senses that there's a lot of people in the house,
Yeah.
What else is going on? I want to say a couple things. The envelope art contest. We have a couple monthly things. One thing that we're also sharing with our friends at Thatcher Hall. The house has ongoing through the summer some monthly movie nights, usually silent movies. And we have them out in the backyard. But this year, this time of year, because it just doesn't get dark ever, we have them indoors at the Thatcher House. This Sunday night, we're showing A Picnic at Hanging Rock. And then later on in the summer, we'll be just having him in the back lawn. We also have monthly book clubs. We have a weekly reading series. As our press release here says, we read horrible books for your horrible child.
I love it. Hey, do you still have the magnolia tree? Did it make it through the...
The horrible readings for horrible children are conducted underneath the magnolia tree.
Oh, good. I wondered with this terrible blizzard and winter that we had, because that magnolia tree is really a southern tree, but it's still there.
We lost a bit of it from that storm in February. And
that's still gone.
A wonderful arborist kind of clean up the mess, so it isn't quite that encompassing canopy that it used to be, but it's still a nice grove. And it continues to grow.
And so, Greg, across the street, there's always one of the sandcastles, sculptures.
Right.
What do you have this year?
It is on a little island. Right. That's a grassy island that's right next to the Commons. This year's theme, it seems like, around Yarmouth, was tying in with the 250th anniversary.
Right, that makes sense.
Anniversary. Ours is seems to be about the Tea Party.
Wonderful.
Sounds good. Greg, thank you so much. Greg from the Edward Gorey House. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's talk to Keely Farrell from the Egan Maritime Institute on Nantucket. Hi, Keely.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Tell us what's going on over there at the Egan Maritime Institute.
Quite a lot. So Egan Maritime also encompasses the Shipwreck and Lifesaving Museum out on the island. So we talk all about Nantucket's life-saving history and maritime heritage from, 1600s to today. So we've got a lot happening this summer for all ages. 3 days throughout July and August, you can join us for interactive activities that kind of bring that history to life. So that can range from crafts and games to special artifact encounters. And a very popular activity that we do every Friday is the breeches buoy rescue method. Adults love it too. Of course, it's weather permitting. It all takes place outside where we show this life-saving technique. So, of course, the original lifesavers had to use it in any weather condition. And we're especially excited to debut two updated exhibition areas within the museum. So the first highlights a Nantucket legend, Mattaket Millie.
Yeah,
you may ring a bell.
Yeah,
so it explores her remarkable role as a woman in maritime history, as well as kind of her deep connection to animals and basically volunteer rescue work. Yeah. Everything she did was volunteer.
Yeah, she was amazing. Yes.
I wish I had met her.
Me too. Yeah, she sounded like she was quite a character.
Yeah, everything we hear is from stories, anecdotal tales from others. So
yeah, sounds like
a lot
of fun.
Learning more about her.
Got a lot going on. Keely, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Happy summer.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. All right. Scott writes in about two activities. It's the Cape Cod League baseball games, family fun with the purest form of baseball, iconic fields, games, children's experiences. What's great about the Cape League games is I think it's so cute how the kids are all running up getting the autographs from the players, because you don't know which one of these. Many of these players go on to the national leagues and become big stars. And
there have been some stars Carlton Fisk and so many others.
It's so much fun. Yeah, so that's a good one, Scott. Thank you. And then Scott says a new item, monthly Music Alley live at Timber in Falmouth, monthly showcase of three Cape Cod bands playing their original music. It's become a great community event for all ages. It's about artistic expression through original music performed by bands. Today, June 25th, 6:30, July 16th, and August 13th, the Music Alley. Scott, thanks for that. I hadn't heard about that. Thank you.
I've attended that, actually. They set up in the middle two or three lanes.
Oh, fun. No bowling going on at that time.
There is on the sides.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, we
bowled
on the sides. But it was great. Some really nice local musicians, and they were obviously just really grateful for being able to perform, and they had a nice little audience. It was lovely.
All right. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org, and we'll have more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Jim Bowen. His book is Cape Cod and the Islands Family Fun Guide, Creating Unforgettable Memories. We're also hearing from listeners about their favorite places and things to do. 866-999-4626, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We've got an email saying the Martha's Vineyard Museum exhibit opening in August. No sharks this time, but lots of other surprisingly rescued creatures appear in portraits by artist Eleanor Hubbard, from a flying squirrel in a plumber's pocket to a canary who collapsed in a hair salon. The exhibit's centerpiece celebrates the over 1,000 extra days that West Chisbury Ox enjoyed when he did not end up on a restaurant's menu. All right, thanks for that. Let's talk to Colin Reed, calling from the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure. Tell us what's going on.
Oh, we have so many things this summer that I'm happy that you're having this information session. So thank you. Weekly, we have dock tours for people to join at 10:45 in the morning and 1:45 in the afternoon. And that's every day, Monday to through Friday. Tuesdays, we do a fun thing called the Splash Lab, where we bring some of our science out to the Redfield patio right across from Coffee Obsession in Woods Hole from 1 to 3. On Thursdays, we do Ask a Scientist, Ask an Engineer, where we bring out our scientists and engineers to just ask them anything under the sun regarding, or shall I say under the sea, about oceanography and what we've got there. And that's from 12 to 1. Friday, not necessarily science related, but we have music on our patio at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And our Discovery Center has many different exhibits in there. One that we installed recently is the Ocean Twilight Zone, which is an immersive experience.
Yeah.
And that's very exciting for kids of all ages. I would say all ages emphasized because everybody's enjoying it so far. And then something that has become a little bit of a tradition here in Woods Hole is on July 8th, we're going to be showing Jaws, which is quite exciting because, as we know, one of the characters represents the oceanographic from the mainland. And so a lot of our folks and the general public are all invited for an outdoor Jaws showing on July the 8th. At dusk.
I should say, if you haven't been to the Discovery Center, you got to go. You got to bring the kids. There's a lot of fun stuff there. And with the Splash Lab and asking the science and engineers, do you have to make any kind of reservations or you can just go?
Nope, you can just go to those. The dock tours, we do ask that you sign up, and you can do that on visit us at whoi.edu. That's whoi.edu. But everything else, you can just come as you are anytime. We are open 7 days a week.
Awesome.
And thank you for the shout out for the Discovery Center.
Yeah.
Also out, as you know, in the front on Water Street, we've got our Alvin Sphere, which was the original sphere that we used.
Yeah, the kids love that. Yeah.
One we discovered hydrothermal events and discovered the sunken Titanic with that sphere that's there.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Colin, thank you. Thanks for calling in and reminding us of that. Appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. All right, Jim, for those who live here or who have been coming here for years, there are things that define the summer, and maybe it's the 4th of July fireworks, or it's, as we talked, the annual whale watch trip that you mentioned. So let's talk about July 4th. There's parades, there's fireworks, there's just all kinds of stuff. There's the powwow that you all talked about, yeah.
And in Chatham, there's the fireworks and parade. Chatham really goes all out for the 4th of July. And, of course, they have the wonderful Kate Gould Park, the bandstand there, where the town band dresses up in their smart red uniforms and perform on Friday evenings during the summer as well. But Falmouth, of course, has the largest fireworks exhibit in New England or southeastern New England. I forget what
it is, right?
But oh, it's amazing. We, the Island Queen does, you can hop on board there, get a ticket for that, and have the fireworks right overhead. You can watch it along the beaches. We watch it from Falmouth Harbor. And it's the quintessential seaside event for Cape Cod.
Yeah. Now, back on New Year's Eve, Provincetown did a drone light show instead of fireworks. I wonder, I don't know, are they doing that for 4th of July? Do you even know?
I read that somebody was, I think it might be Hyannis, so I'm not sure.
Oh, doing a drone, yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about those.
Yeah, I have to, I mean, I don't know, I think I'd want to see one before making a judgment, I guess, on it. But it might, I mean, for things, you know, like I remember one year in Hyannis, the fireworks, because of the piping plovers, right? You couldn't do it where you know. So maybe it's when you use the drones instead of all that, you know. I don't know. Yeah.
I guess I'm just an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah, we'll have to check out the drone show.
It's nice to hear these callers, if I might interject. All these things that they're talking about are written in the book, actually.
In the book, yeah.
And that
yeah.
Discovery Center is a real gem for
it
people down
gem.
In Woods
yeah,
Hole.
For sure. All right, and then the carousel. You want to talk about the carousel in Falmouth?
Well, you know, it's a family tradition. I was a board member there. I was one of the founding board members 30 some odd years ago when Lance Schinkel came up to me and said, "Can you help me start this nonprofit for these beautiful wooden horses that I built?" and there's a lot of great stories behind it. But I just wanted to give out a shout out to the Carousel Light and say that is one of the most favorite things that families should do. And they should travel from Harwich or Chatham or anywhere just to come down to see that beautiful work of art.
Yeah.
And it's right on Catherine Lee Bates Road behind Main Street, Falmouth. It's a wonderful way to spend to do a day trip to Falmouth. There's the Science Playground next to it. And of course, the library is across the street, and they have a wonderful children's section.
Yeah. All right. So when researching the book, did you hear some common themes about what traditions or activities represent Cape Cod and the islands to people? I mean, I imagine you got a lot of input on that, a lot of different answers.
Yes, indeed. Well, what's the first tradition that somebody has coming down to the Cape is the first person to yell, first to see the bridge.
Right.
We've all been through that.
Yeah.
But, you know, just unpacking the car, get to your cottage, unpacking the car, go to your favorite clam shack, find the best lobster roll, go to your favorite little Main Street where the stores are. I know my wife used to own Bojangles on Main Street, and we heard stories of people coming in from the city, and they'd unpack the car, and the first thing they'd do was head down to Main Street
yeah.
and see what was in stock.
Well, it's funny because my grandson loves the like country stores, general stores, and whenever we like go to New Hampshire or
mm-hmm.
Vermont, like that's the first thing he wants to go check out, the little five, we used to call the five and dime, right?
Five and dime.
And there's still a couple on the Cape.
The Brewster General Store is mm-hmm. fantastic. We were just there the other day. My granddaughter said to me, she's 16 and she's down for a few weeks, and she said, "Grandpa, you wrote a book about Cape Cod and the islands. I want to visit every town before the end of the summer." So we went up to Brewster General Store. I had to sign some books for them because they're carrying it there. And it's two floors, wooden, creaky floors.
Love it.
The management there is sweet. They actually have a wooden stove, an old potbelly stove with chairs, and people were sitting around. I thought I was in a movie set.
Oh, I have to go check that out.
As a matter of fact, there was a movie that was filmed there, A.J. Furkey. It was called.
Huh.
It's interesting. But there's another one, the 1856 Country Store in Centerville.
I've been to that one. That
Isn't
one's great,
that
too.
Sweet.
Yeah, that is a great little
They've
store.
Got the benches out front.
Yep.
One says Democrats, one says Republicans.
I don't remember seeing that. That's funny. All right, so we have a lot more things to do than we did 30 years ago, but we also have a lot more people. We're the best, you know, way to get away from the crowds and traffic options. Do you have any hints on that in the book?
There's a lot of wonderful trails that are off the beaten path that really should be explored. If you have a dog, it's a great way to take them for a walk, like right behind the studio here.
Yeah, Baby Woods,
the Punch Bowl.
Yeah.
Head down there. But, you know, the region is changing for good and bad. And, you know, I really worry about the bridges.
Yeah.
You know, and the traffic there is incredible. And I worry that the Sagamore and Bourne Bridge are going to be replaced and they're going to be allowing more people on quicker. But once they arrive, where do they go? They're still going to be backed up on those small roads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have one water aquifer here to provide water for us. And I just really think that we have to appreciate what we have now because, you know, it's just getting more and more crowded.
Right. And I think, too, you know, we're in the summertime, it obviously, we swell in population, but there's also so much off season. I mean, some of the hikes and the beaches and, you know, they're much more peaceful off season.
They're much more peaceful. The museums are nice and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about pirates earlier. The Widder Pirate Museum is a lovely place to go, and you can have it all to yourself on a weekday or even a weekend in the middle of the winter. And they mm-hmm. sure would appreciate the business off season
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned, more year-round activities than we did a couple decades ago. What are the things you encourage year-rounders to do when the visitors leave?
I would encourage them to explore and take advantage of the fact that there's not a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the mini-golfs are closed during the off-season, but the museums are still open. There's some lovely restaurants to visit that might be too crowded during the mm-hmm. off season. of course, a lot of the good ones are closed too, like like the Chat Room in Katamit or the Sisuit Harbor Cafe, where they have some of the best lobster rolls. So you want to grab those while you can.
Yeah.
The Provincetown Library is a wonderful place to go in the off season.
And they've got the big, replica of the ship in there. That
exactly.
The kids love.
On, on the second, third floor. It's beautiful there.
So you mentioned earlier about being on the Outer Cape and people going, I haven't been to Falmouth. And you've given them, I think, plenty of reason to come to Falmouth. We talked about a lot of things. But the other way, let's get some people on the Upper Cape to Provincetown. And you mentioned, okay, there's the museum. I mean, there's the library. There's also Provincetown Museum of Art, which is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. I want to say the fall, but it's a certain time of year they do local art. Maybe it's members art. There's always something new happening there. There are restaurants that are open year-round. And then, of course, in the early spring, you can go down there, hike out to Race Point, maybe see the right whales, or if you can't hike out that far, you can go to Herring Cove, bring your binoculars, and you can see them. There's just so much fun
stuff. There's so much to do there, and please take advantage of Art's Dune Tours.
Oh, right.
It's the only company that's allowed to do dune tours on the province lands where there's wild cranberries growing, and the artist shacks are up there. In East Ham, you want to stop by the Fort Hill
Trail. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's beautiful.
That's one of the most beautiful views on the Cape.
In the spring, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
In the spring, the lupins are blooming, and you can look over at Nauset Marsh.
Yeah. Let's quick get Dave from Brewster who's calling in. Hi, Dave.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dave.
I thought of something. I was thinking, I'm hearing a lot of stuff for parents, little kids, teenagers, right?
Yeah.
A lot of skate parks around for the kids to go. I grew up going to the skate park all summer. They're right next to fields. A lot of them are easy to bike to. Provincetown, Wellfleet, Orleans, Chatham. I know there's one in Barnstable. There's one in Wareham, which doesn't count as Cape, but it's close if you're at the bridge,
Yep, and Falmouth, exactly.
Yeah. And they're all next, they're all next to fields. You can bike to them. If there's a field to play in, these teenage kids, they can all go and cause trouble and do the things that teenagers do. And the parents could drop them off or catch up with them later.
I'm glad you brought that up because one of the themes of my book, Cape Cod and the Islands Family Fun Guide, is that we provide screen-free adventures, and that's just what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, Dave, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, we've got about a little over a minute left. Jim, what else do you want to mention before we run out of time?
Another one of my favorite things is to recommend to go on the boardwalks.
Oh, yeah.
The Sandwich Boardwalk at high tide, the kids are jumping off. Parker River Landing has a beautiful new one, and the Bass Hole Boardwalk. Check out the Chatham Fish Pier. Mm-hmm. If you go there when the fishing boats are unloading, the seals are being fed, and it puts on a really great show. Let's not forget, for some of the people that aren't here on the Upper Cape, please come down and visit the Shining Sea Bike Path.
I was going to say, we got to mention the bike path. Yeah,
it's just standing
so gorgeous,
there.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful mosaic that I helped produce under the Sipawisset Road Bridge. Mm-hmm. And it goes through ancient forests. It goes through cranberry bogs and down along the edge of the water. It's very special.
Yeah, we're lucky to have some great bike trails throughout the whole Cape, right? And the islands as well. There's places on the islands to ride your bike as well. All right, so the book is Cape Cod and the Islands Family Fun Guide, Creating Unforgettable Memories. We'll have a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Jim Bone, thanks for being here, and thanks for putting all this great info together. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mindy. It was a pleasure, as always.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
With production assistance from Dan Tridle and Elsa Partan. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.